This is High Level Wisdom for New Generation Leaders. We interview senior level baby boomers who share their stories, insights, and how-tos for the emerging leadership of millennials. Our mission is to celebrate their accomplishments and aid in preserving their business knowledge. I'm your host, Chris Williams. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to High Level Wisdom for New Generation Leaders. I am your host, Chris Williams. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This is part two of my interview with the CEO of Falco Consultancy, Chris Falco himself. He's doing some amazing things in the city. And if you have not heard part one of our interview, I highly suggest you go to Google Play or iTunes or wherever you can find a device, or you can go to highlevelwisdom.com. Download the episode. Listen to our first part of our interview. It is highly informative. His approach is very unique. And it's very cool that he actually feels that some of what millennials are bringing to the workspace is partly the parents' fault. So go listen to that part one interview. This is part two. And so we deep dive into his thoughts, his processes, how he put things together, not only in his company, but his perspective on the workforce in general. Take a listen to part two of this interview with Chris Falco, the CEO of Falco Consultancy. Take a listen.
There's a millennial sitting somewhere who's been out of college and they're working in that corporate job, and they're already kind of, you know, they're in the company. They know that they eventually want to get to a particular place. What would you say to that millennial who may not know how to start building those relationships with that baby boomer manager or that baby boomer who's, you know, sitting in a senior level position? What would you say is a good thing that they should start doing in order to foster those types of relationships?
You know, assuming that they don't have, whether it's that manager or someone equivalent to that manager, someone that they feel like that they could mentor with. And I think the next step is they're going to have to take the initiative to go outside of the company, and it's still in the business environment, but, you know, go look for opportunities to put themselves in, for lack of a better term, an uncomfortable situation. It may be, for example, something as simple as, you know, we're this company in town and my manager's not really the greatest guy when it comes to some of the networking capabilities and the ability to learn that skill set or to bring in clients or something like that. They're more of a technical manager. But I want to go further than just the technical side. Find out the business organizations that the company belongs to and see if it's okay with the company to allow them, and many times it is, allow them to start getting integrated into those. Like, for example, a chamber of commerce. Many chamber of commerces have hundreds of networking opportunities and they're designed to teach people how to go out and network and how to interface with other business people and how to talk to them and how to do your elevator speech and just a lot of different opportunities to mingle and talk to people that are either similar to you or are further along in their career but are willing to still talk to you about all the things that go on around the community and around them and the markets that they're in. And usually the company will say, yeah, go ahead, go to that networking event. We'll pay for the networking event. It's $25 or whatever. And, you know, go for it, because they know that you're doing this for the benefit of in their mind, for the company. When in fact, that millennial can really be doing it for the benefit of themselves in terms of developing their own business networks. And so looking at the organizations that the company's in is a great way to branch outside of not getting that manager to help. It's a great way to help build those soft skills and help them to build the relationships.
That's awesome. So, and I think that going outside sometimes is a little scary for people. And I think that, especially for senior leaders, I think that it might be something that, from a mentoring standpoint, some senior leaders might have to begin to look at how can they support some of that outside influence for their, you know, emerging leaders. Inside of the company, so that they know that, you know, we not only care about you working here, but we also care about you growing in your understanding in your career as well, right? Because that could definitely pay off. So
absolutely, there are things that whether it's I've taken my staff who have looked at, I want to develop my skills, I'll take them with me to something, and I'll make the introductions for them.
Wow,
I'll get them kind of started in it, and then back off and let them kind of have a chance, you know, because people will show up, and if you're not used to it, you're going to stand in the corner and hope for somebody to approach you. But right. I'll take them and help make those introductions to people I know that I know will be a soft landing for them to be able to have conversation and learn more about what's going on. And all the way to, we do things with, especially some of our emerging leaders in our firm. We'll put them into certain programs like Vistage or a program called Lead that helps them get in with peers their same level and talk about a lot of these things and develop those skills with people that are, you know, feeling the same way. And it's a great way for them to get a chance to build that confidence, which is ultimately what they're trying to do.
That's awesome. So, you know, it makes me think of a couple of things there that now that you mentioned that, you know, as a baby boomer, you've been a leader for a very long time in your field. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the misconceptions that are sitting out there about being a baby boomer leader that you think, you know, you would like to address?
For a millennial or for anyone, you kind of need to evaluate that leader, that baby boomer leader, and kind of look at what you think their skill set is. And everyone obviously is different. We're always out trying to hire the smartest. I always try to find somebody and hire them who's smarter than me and not consider myself the sharpest tool in the box, but someone who can really see good talent. And because I see myself more as a visionary type person. And, you know, finding those really strong, technical, smart people to supplement what I do or for me to be able to easily hand things off to is a great thing for me. And I think for the boomers, they've got to, or for the millennials looking at the boomers, they've got to assess what kind of manager they're working with. And I think from there, it's going to allow them to kind of adapt a little bit to their own style to see how that's going to get both generations talking. You know, I think the millennials, as I said, are very good at what they do, but they need to really understand that they're going to have to be patient with those baby boomers because there's a lot of them at the technical levels that they are that are nowhere near as quick as what they may be. And so being a little bit tolerant, being a little bit patient of them, and just understanding that they're sponges and try to be a sponge to that person to really learn their techniques and skills is one of the best things that they can do when it comes to endearing themselves to the boomers as well. The boomers are proud people. They're people who believe in long-term growing of things, whether it's assets or businesses or whatever, and they take pride in that. And, you know, if millennials can play to that pride, if they can make sure that what they're doing is helping to enhance the things that are, you know, that make a difference to the overall organization, the boomers are going to recognize that, and they're going to embrace that, and they're wanting to mentor is going to become much more obvious.
Awesome. You know, that's really huge because I think part of what we're facing in today's corporate world is kind of a lack of that understanding. And I think we all kind of can learn, you know, from each other. I heard someone say this that I thought was pretty interesting. They said that they realized and kind of their aha moment was the fact that they were actually hiring their kids. And so until they had that understanding and realization, they were very frustrated. But then they realized, well, this bunch of energy and vibrancy and opportunity, you know, seeing person is really my child. And it's not to demean them, but it means that there's a different perspective that you kind of have to take as opposed to just writing off everyone and overgeneralizing, you know, an entire generation, you know.
Yeah, very much so. I think that there's too many times we become impatient because it's all about instant gratification. And we get so focused into the day-to-day operations of the business. And some businesses, even to the point of there's a, you know, what's the balance in the checkbooks driving your decisions, that, you know, we forget about the big picture. And I think as business leaders and hopefully visionaries for your company, if you catch yourself and say, let's spend a little more time thinking about the bigger picture here, and what are we trying to accomplish and not get mired in the details, those details are going to get taken care of by the sharp people that you hire, you're going to feel much more inclined to really want to spend some time and mentor them because the amount of time you spend there is going to pay off tenfold as they start to take on more responsibility and they'll make you look good in the process.
Absolutely. So what are those things that you think are common among a millennial and a baby boomer that are values. Because you hear that conversation all the time. You hear the idea that, oh, they don't value anything, or they don't have any loyalty. So that seems to, you know, and it sometimes seems to be a little frustrating to some people. The idea that, you know, a millennial might job hop, you know, over a 10-year period versus being able to stay at one, you know, makes some folks feel, well, I don't want to invest in somebody who's going to leave me, you know. But but what would you say are some, you can always talk about the differences, but what would you say are maybe some of the common shared values between a millennial and a boomer that you would notice?
When we hire anybody in this day and age, you know, I look at it as, if I can hire somebody and I can keep them here to 5 years, for me, that's a home run. So the idea is to step back and think about what is it going to take to keep somebody around that long versus if you're trying to think of somebody that's going to be around for 20 years. And it's about helping them feel like they're developing their skills. And I think we want them to develop their skills, and they want to learn more and more. They do. They really do. And now they may not be comfortable learning all the things we want to learn, but if we can come up with a program or an approach that helps them not only learn the stuff that they're really competent at, but also the stuff that is not as comfortable for them, and it's something that they enjoy doing and they feel like it's a team, and we don't make it seem like I'm their boss all the time and I'm a dictator and you do what I got to do. Yeah, I tell you to do. It's more of a collaborative approach. So I think a lot of us as baby boomers want to be more collaborative too, but maybe not in the same way that a millennial might. But I think the ultimate goal is the same. And us paying attention to them and showing them some of that respect, that they're willing to do the same thing for us. And so it's just trying to determine what's that happy medium between the two. But I think that's what kind of bonds us with them. They embrace the idea of change, and we do. And I think baby boomers embrace the idea of change as well, but we're just not used to it at the speed that a millennial might be. How do you take this idea of embracing change and for the good of not only the firm, but I think the overall good of the community that they're in? And how do you find some happy medium in between the two that everybody can live with from a speed perspective, that you can all get on board with and just kind of embrace and do together? And that takes a little bit of time and getting to know your people really well and understanding what it is that's driving them. Because what's driving them is not what's driving a boomer. But yeah. I think not in the technical sense, like me driving that I want to build value in my company and all of these things, and it's really centric on that. For them, they have a drive to do good and to do some things that are meaningful to them along with what they're doing in their job. Well, let's figure out how to marry those things together as a company and see if we can both get the best of both worlds out of it. And everybody win. And they like that win-win scenario. They really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a very, it's a delicate approach, I think. And to your point, it definitely takes some time because everything doesn't happen clearly overnight. As you kind of have thought through the folks who've come in and out of your office, who you've been able to help, whether they've been there 5 years or longer, or maybe even shorter, what would you say has been the thing that you've always ensured that inside of your company, no matter who they were, that they're walking away with, and at the end of the day, that you would want them to know about the type of company that you've built?
Foremost, we want them to understand that we don't take ourselves too seriously as people. I mean, what we do is not solving world problems. I mean, it's from the perspective of, well, we're not necessarily saving lives. We offer service. For our clients, we offer peace of mind. And by using that as a concept, we try to help our staff not only learn, you know, the technical aspects of what they do, and we put them through a very formalized training program with our existing staff. So I don't sit there and train a new staff on how to use all the work paper tools and all the computer techniques. I use somebody that's actually closer to their age, who understands the technology and them really well, to kind of help them build that relationship and understand why they need to know the things that they need to know to get started. And so by doing that, I know where my where I come in here to kind of supplement that. And we want to make it a fun place to work. We want to make it a place that is not rigid. We want to make it a place that does promote, you know, some creativity and flexibility. In fact, I mean, I try to, as we get bigger, it's harder for me to, you know, see staff on a day-to-day basis because we've got them all over the place and they're doing different jobs. But as a boomer, I think that we need to take more time to just stop and go sit down and just chat with them. You know, walk over their desk and I'll go back there in the back office and I'll just kind of break the concentration of everybody and we'll just we'll have a good laugh. We'll have a chance to chat about what's going on or how's everybody doing and or specifically one-on-one, but I'll show an interest in them as people, not just as them as employees. And I think the more of that that happens, that in, that environment really fits for them. And it also gives me some satisfaction because I'm trying to build a family. And I think if you can build that kind of family, they're going to do whatever they can to help and produce other than just, hey, I'm doing this for the paycheck and I don't really have any motivation to do it for anybody else, but if they feel like they're doing it for their person next to them, or they feel like they can easily talk to me about a lot of different things as it relates to work or anything. It's almost like a maybe a parent, but not exactly. If we can do more of that kind of interacting with our staff, I think you're going to develop a good team of millennials, and that's what we've seen it happen. And anybody that hasn't stayed here, when they've left here, they've got a very strong technical background, and they also have a feeling of what a work environment that is not designed to be chaotic would be. Even though we tend to be very driven by deadlines and pressure, it's controlled chaos is how we say it. And that goes a long way to help them in their next job. And they know that. And so, and you'd be surprised. We have a lot of people that don't leave. I mean, I've got a number of people that have been here 8, 9, 10, 15 years at my manager level positions, and they don't have a desire to go anyplace else because, you know what, the grass isn't greener on the other side because they, especially our millennials, they'll talk to a lot of their cohorts that they were in school with that get hired locally, and they'll start comparing notes as to what they're getting to do at the start of their career here versus where these other people are. And by far, they're getting an opportunity to touch and see a lot more things in a much more fun environment. And by doing that, people want to stay.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'll have to, when we do our social media from this interview, I think you just said something that was very key there. You said that, I think it was just great that you said it. You said, you know, you want them to really know that you see them as a person, not just as an employee. And I think that's mm-hmm. that's so important and so critical to people to feel that, you know, and not maybe just even from the CEO, but from, you know, their direct manager, if there's, you know, if they're way, you know, further down the totem pole, but, you know, all throughout the organization, I think people want to know that they're recognized as a person, not just you know, somebody who can crank out a document, you know, in 10 minutes.
For CEOs, that's a hard thing too, because, you know, we're constantly... We're looking at numbers, we're looking at production, we're looking at bottom lines. And,
right.
And so it's easy to get into that rut where you're very, you know, metric driven, but you know that you've got to have that personal touch piece that if you really want to endear people to your company and learn these things, you need to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we wrap up here, you know, I would like for you to kind of speak to the baby boomer CEO, senior leader out there who may be feeling some frustration right now about, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable about raising their hand and saying they're ready to retire because maybe they don't feel like the structure's in place, or maybe they just don't feel like they've gotten what they've needed. Maybe they're just feeling frustrated about the influx of, you know, we're now what, almost 52% the entire workforce is basically a millennial. So mm-hmm. What would you want to say to that leader in order to help them, you know, make the next step to really building the culture that they need to have and getting involved with a millennial who they know, maybe they've already identified one and are a few and they said, you know, that's our next, you know, group of leaders. What would you say to that baby boomer if they're in that space?
So you're trying to find that next person that's going to replace you. And to do that, you're going to kiss a lot of frogs. we just don't have a lot of the we don't have the same situation we were baby boomers, where everybody you ran into was driven to be that entrepreneur and that business owner.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that they can't develop that way. It's just, I don't think that they're going to see it as they weren't driven to do that day one. I think it's something that they're going to develop into over time. And so you're going to have to go out a little bit on a limb. You're going to have to really push the concept of trying to mentor and be much more understanding. Spend that time learning more and more techniques around, you know, personal development and how you would want to implement that into your system. This personal growth plan concept is a great way for that to happen, where you're doing a lot of one-on-ones with your staff. And inside of those, over time, you're going to start to identify some of the key people who have the personality traits that are going to be able to maybe step up and ultimately replace you, if that's your goal. Or maybe they're the ones that can come up and at least be brought into positions in the company that allow them to run a lot of the day-to-day production, which gives you the chance to back off a little bit, do some of the things that you might like to do that are outside of the company, or allow you to move up into a different environment in your company that's going to be more satisfying for you. I mean, the worst case is you get to the end and you got to shut it down. Nobody wants to do that, but chances are you spend enough time doing that and you identify two or three people who may be able to take that over by you mentoring them in all the common sense type of things that need to be done in life. Then you're going to find one or two in there that are going to ultimately step up and want to do this. It just may take longer because they don't see their time horizon as short as we may have seen ours. I mean, they don't see the urgency when they first get out of school.
Right.
They've got to get through the idea of getting married and having kids.
Sure,
All this is other stuff, but they don't look out 25 years.
Right, right.
They're only looking 5. So, if you understand that and work to that, I think you'll find a better chance of being able to find those people.
Well, Chris, it has been a pleasure to have you today, and we appreciate you sharing your high-level wisdom with New Generation Leaders.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Another episode wrapped up in the books. You got a chance to hear from the CEO of Falco Consultancy, Chris Falco. He is an amazing person. I appreciate his time, and I appreciate you for listening. And since you've had an opportunity to listen up until this point, thank you so much. Please go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. Download this episode and maybe share it with a friend. Share it with another millennial. Share it with a baby boomer. Share it with another CEO. If you're interested in being able to get more into this conversation and ingrained, please go to highlevelwisdom.com. You can leave your comments there, along with sign up with our newsletter, because we have more content than just what we produce here, but you'll also get to see some of our articles as well. So you can sign up for our newsletter there. If you're on Google Play or iTunes and you listen to podcasts on a regular basis, please download this show. Download it and also leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you thought about the interview. Tell us how you feel about this sort of conversation. If you have other suggestions, other people that you think would be an awesome fit for this type of platform, send us an email at info@highlevelwisdom.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Hey, do you feel like you're investing a ton of money in ads, but not getting the return? Well, it's probably because you're not getting it in front of decision makers. If you advertise with us here on High Level Wisdom for New Generation Leaders, you will be more likely to be able to get a decision very quickly and moving your product or service forward. Feel free to send us an email at info@highlevelwisdom.com if you're interested in advertising right here.